today on Real Radio.
Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. I'll stand before 22,000 people and tell you with a little bald head and hook-nosed, bow-legged physique that I have that Jesus Christ saves sinners from hell. And there's no other way to get to heaven but through him.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Paul's Great Defense, Part 1, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Many years have gone by since the Apostle Paul first began his missionary journeys, and now Paul is back in Caesarea, ready to go to Rome for trial and for the end of his mission. In the message called An Anchor for the Soul from Acts chapter 25, we found Paul in the midst of violent attacks, but Paul's heart was anchored to the truth of Jesus Christ and in the Word of God. Many lies were spoken of him, but Paul knew his calling, and he was confident that God was in control. Now, continuing in Acts 25 and Acts 26, we find Paul giving an account of the events that led to his conversion to Christ and God's desire to save the Gentile world. He's now standing before King Herod Agrippa II, the grandson of King Herod the Great. Today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us to never think for a moment that you can sin beyond God's ability to save you. And even though Paul's Jewish brethren were wanting to kill him, his heart was breaking for them. Paul knew that their rejection of Jesus Christ meant that they were eternally lost in their sin. And now, continuing his lesson called Paul's Great Defense, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Are you saying, well, maybe, you know what? Hey, maybe the Bible's true, maybe it's not true. And God is reaching out and he's saying, hey, I love you. Come on, these things are true. Listen, I can tell you right now, archaeologically, scientifically, and every other way, that the Bible's true and it can be proven. It has nothing to do with intelligence. It has all to do with the attitude of your heart. Those of you who are here Wednesday, bear with me. But we were on, that was Sunday. So I think it was Sunday night. We were on the metro riding, about six of us together. And I was talking to Alina, who you saw a couple months ago here. She came up to say goodbye to you. And out of nowhere, okay, this is just nothing. I didn't see a vision. God didn't say, hey, I'm speaking to you. I just don't know why. We were talking. I said, let's pray for your dad. That if God wants to save him, he'll save him. She goes, well, okay. So I leaned over and I said, Lord, in Jesus' name, if you want Alina's dad to get saved, open the door and let us know when you open the door. Amen. And we said that on a bumpy metro underground with a bunch of people, and we couldn't even hear ourselves. So we go to the house Monday night, last Monday, and we're sitting down, and if you've never been in a Russian home, and especially like we were blessed to be the first Westerners into the Russian house, they bless you beyond their ability. And you say no to nothing. And they're just lavishing us, and we're there, and I totally forgot about the prayer. Totally forgot. And so I'm at one head of the table. The father's at the other head of the table. And the father says, so how many times have you been here now? And I said, well, this is like a lot of times now. 8th, 9th time. And he says, why do you come? Alina's to my left. Pastor Paul, our pastor there in St. Pete, is sitting right to his left. I look at her. Her mouth goes open. Her eyes get big. I said, do you want to know what we do here? You want to know why we come to Russia? I will tell you if you want to know. I want to know. In an hour and 20 minutes went on. God, listen, people. I have rarely in my life ever experienced a supernatural manifestation of God's presence like I did in that room from that moment on. I felt God's hand behind my back. I knew that this thing was, it was amazing because I remember as we began to talk, I looked over at Alina and I said, go. She goes, what? I said, leave the room. She goes, are you kidding? No way. I can't believe this is happening. And I said, leave the room. He couldn't understand what I was saying. God wanted her to leave the room. I told her, leave the room. And she stepped out. She would come in to bring dishes back and forth. But as soon as she stepped out of the room, he began to let down his guard, the father. And he began to speak. And he started to ask questions. And the questions that he began to ask immediately, I had the scripture verse reference immediately. And I said, Paul, turn to Isaiah 52, verse 7. Read him that verse. Now turn to Mark 1:16. Read him that verse. It was supernatural, you guys. I wish you could have been there. I couldn't believe it. We came to the point, he said, how can we trust the Bible? How do we know? He was given an answer, and he was appeased with that. He wanted to know about this and about that and about the other, and every answer came from the Bible. I told him, I said, let me interject something right here, right now. If this conversation continues the direction that I think it's going, in a moment of time, you are going to feel uncomfortable. And I said, Paul, tell him that in Russian. He told him that in Russian. Now tell him this. He's going to be tempted to think of an excuse. Tell him to remember this. So Paul told him that. 10, 15, 20 minutes went by. Punchline, there was the cups of water, purified water in front of us because you can't drink the water there. It's terrible. So the water's pure. And I said, Victor, this is who we are. We are a container of this water, or we are a glass filled with water. And Victor, would you drink this cup if I put one drop of cyanide crystal into that cup? He said, no way. What about two drops? No. What about four? No. Why? Listen, his words. Because if the water inside the vessel is poison, then the whole vessel is poison. I almost jumped out of my seat. I said, Victor, the Ten Commandments? He said, what do you mean? I said, the Ten Commandments. I'm not sure. What? Well, the Ten Commandments says, God says you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Have you done that? No. So, well, let's put a drop in the water, okay? Okay. Go down the Ten Commandments. You shall not lie. Not a white lie, black lie, gray lie, no lie. Wow. You can't look at your neighbor's wife and desire her in your mind. Just in your mind. Oh, well. Wow. So in your container, in your water, is your water pure? Or is there droplets of cyanide in there? It doesn't matter. One drop, four drops. Oh, no. Poison water. No. No good. So, Victor, are you willing to admit that you've broken any of the Ten Commandments, God's perfect standard for life, and we've broken that? You agree with me that we're sinners? Yes, I do. And I said, Victor, I'm going to ask you right now. You understand that Jesus came and died on the cross. You heard that. You understand that you're a sinner. Now the next thing is, Victor, for you to receive Jesus Christ. And he goes, well, and he starts moving around. I said, you feel uncomfortable? He says, yes. Where? Right here. I said, you need to accept Jesus now. You know what he said? Maybe tomorrow. I said, Victor, that's an excuse. Paul, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. He turned there. Today's the acceptable time. Now. Now is the moment of salvation. He heard the verse and he says, well, let's pray. Every answer, every question handled. Conversion in a moment. I tell you guys, I got through this without bawling my head off. I've been crying daily since that happened. I'm not kidding. Can't stop praying for the guy. I can't wait to see the guy. It was so hard to leave. Handshake at his door turned out to be a hug and a hug and a hug and a squeeze. Why? Well, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. I'll stand before 22,000 people and tell you with a little bald head and hook-nosed, bow-legged physique that I have that Jesus Christ saves sinners from hell, and there's no other way. to get to heaven but through him. And you might say, well, that's religion. No, it's not religion. Jesus spoke against religion more than anybody else in the world. Religion is man's way to reach heaven. God says it won't work. I'll come down and I'll save you and I'll die on the cross. And for that reason, Paul was being judged. He says in verse 21 of this chapter, chapter 26, for these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day, I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than, listen, than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. Isn't that awesome? That the Christ, that is Jesus, Messiah, Mashiach of Israel, would suffer, Isaiah 52 and Isaiah chapter 53. That he would rise from the dead and would proclaim the light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. That is Paul's fault. I would have given anything, I mean that from the bottom of my heart, if you could have been a little mouse on my shoulder this week. I got to see God in everything, everywhere. In a city of 6.8 million people, I traveled 7,800 miles one way to speak at, I thought, at a pastor's conference in Moscow, get on a midnight train, go through the wilderness freezing mess, get there and go through this thing, try to find a place to stay, get the and all this stuff, thinking, well, you know, this is just part of the deal. God having a plan all the way for one man. On a Monday night, in a flat with thousands of people living in these cubicles. And we left that night. You should have seen us in the car. We were insane. Russian and Americans alike, we were insane. We were just praising God. Can you believe what happened? Get on the airplane, crying, sit down. Another Christian. Hi, who are you? Nice to meet you. You look like America. Yeah, we're from here and there. God bless you. Neat. Christian, yeah. Praise the Lord. Go to Warsaw, Poland. Another guy, get on the Christian. Yeah, hey, God bless you. What are you doing? We're putting Bibles over. Hey, God bless you. That's great. Get to Frankfurt, Germany. Flight all messed up. Got to wait for 6 hours. Nobody around. Open my Bible. I'm reading. I hear this guy, loud, beautiful, big black man. Now that brother's reading the right book. And I just looked up. And I said, amen, who are you? The guy is from the president of some prison ministry, and he's going to be right over here in Alta Loma in a few days. We're in Frankfurt, Germany. Sit on the plane, leaving Los Angeles, 300 people on board, sit down, the lady in front of us. And I'm thinking, because I just got an invitation to go to India to speak at a pastor's conference in Bombay. It's like, why? I don't know anybody in India. But I'm thinking, this lady's from India in the front seat, right in front. You know what? Hi, who are you? She's from India. She's going to India to help at a pastor's conference in Bombay. Her professor was a couple seats over. He's a professor at Biola University. There are Christians all over the plane. Christians everywhere. You know why? There will always be Christians everywhere. As long as there is one person needing to be reached. Just one. Isn't that a trip? So I get back home. And I read Paul, and he just blows me away. Now I know why he wept. Every time he says, I think of you often in my prayers, and I weep and I pray. I didn't know that verse and those meanings until now. Pray for me. Pray for Moses. Pray for Victor. Pray for me, because, man, is my heart torn between two worlds. if the phone remotely rings from St. Petersburg. I'm so concerned for that man's discipleship. I've never felt that way. I can't explain it. God is so good. You are so precious. Never think for a moment because you've been a prostitute or a drug addict or you ripped off your previous husband or you robbed your kid to meet your crack habit or you've been married to four guys and the guy you're living with now is not your husband. Do you think for one moment that you could sin beyond his ability to save you? Oh, no way, man. He's too great. He's too big. You just have to come. And that was Paul's guilt. Believing that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he saves those who believe in him. Let's pray. Lord, I've been to football games when my team went across the line and I cried. I couldn't even explain why. Been to an air show when a plane comes by at an incredible speed and it gives you a funny feeling and you almost get emotional about it. Why? Think about you and the things you do. And God, in all honesty, I pray that you'd forgive me of having such a cold and callous heart. Lord, I thank you that nobody in this room, nobody in this city, nobody in this state, in this nation, in this world is a number. God, may this church, no matter how much you decide to bless it, if we got to blow the walls out and just meet out under the open air, because of the crowd, may we never forget that we're one person. And for a man who once held in atheistic communism, who was taught in school that only numbers count and masses succeed, that you opened up the light to him to realize and to see that Jesus died for him. One man. For one girl, for one husband and one wife, and one child. Lord, you are so great. And God, we do not pretend at any moment in this service to be professional. I think it's evident that we've lost control in the presence of your goodness. Father, if there's anybody in this room right now that would admit with Victor and with myself and with others in here that they have sinned, that if they were a glass of water, that they're not pure, somewhere along the line, poison has entered in, and they'd like to be cleansed and changed and given a new life like Paul had, like we have, like Victor's learning about, I ask you, Lord, to speak to them now and pull back that veil. While we're praying right now, if that's any of you right now this morning, you'd like to receive Jesus, this is what I'm going to ask you to do so you know up front, so you're not tricked. I'm going to ask you to put your hand up. No one's looking around. I'll see your hand. And then after the service, God bless you. I'm going to ask you to go back to the prayer room and get a Bible and get some homework, Gospel of John, to blow your mind. For your hand to go up, it's a hand that's admitting that you need him. And you're going to give him your life now. Put your hand up wherever you're at this morning. And the Lord, God bless you. And you in the back, you in the middle, you're receiving the Lord. This is it. this moment will be remembered in eternity. And you may not feel anything, or you may feel a great something. It doesn't really matter. Anybody else would like to join these? You're just choosing Christ right now. It's amazing. God who sees all sees your hand go up. And he's receiving you right now. He's writing your name down in heaven. It's a spiritual thing. anyone else to join these in receiving Christ Jesus this morning. Today's the day. You may not have a tomorrow. Father, we praise and thank you, God, for these hands that have gone up for voting Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would just so flood them. Father, they may or may not feel a thing. That doesn't matter. It's by faith we enter the kingdom. But God, what is a fact is that as they move out from this place, you're going to start intervening in their life. They're going to be interrupted with your person. And I pray that they would recognize you when you call. Those of you who are believers, repeat this prayer with me. And those of you who raised your hands, you let these words fall from your lips right now. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I proclaim you as Lord and Savior. That I believe you died on the cross for me. That you rose again from the dead. And that you're alive. Jesus, I receive you now. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. And by doing that, I know what the Bible teaches. It is my sin, past, present, and future, paid full in Christ. And I receive him now in Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Paul's Great Defense, Part 1. Thanks for taking the time to listen and be encouraged. Like Paul, the prophet Ezekiel from the Old Testament also tells us that God will give us a new heart and put a new spirit within us. Paul's Great Defense, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And if you've made a decision to follow Christ or you've got questions about what salvation means, we encourage you to visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Once you're at the homepage, look for the tab called Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. Once you're there, you'll find guidance and a more clear understanding of the decision you made to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And please, let us know about your decision to follow Jesus by emailing us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We're here to help you grow spiritually, and the love that Jesus is offering to you is free, no matter who or where you are or what you might have done. Once again, our website is reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, we live in a fallen world where there will always be pain and suffering. Paul went through extreme hardships, from beatings to imprisonment, from sickness to starvation. But he was not deterred by those hardships. Why? Because he understood that when he was going through the worst of times is when the power of God rested upon him the most. God is committed to us. All you and I have to do is trust in him. But you know, the circumstances of life often bring us to the point of asking, where is God in all of this? That's why Pastor Jack has a video on his website and, by the way, on his YouTube channel called Why Is There Pain and Suffering? We don't like the fact that pain, suffering, and sorrow are all part of life, especially as a believer. A lot of folks think that after we accept Christ as our Savior, everything's going to go smooth and easy. But that's just not how it works. The Bible is very clear that we live in a sinful, dying world, and we will have trouble. So how do we overcome? And like Paul, how do we rise above the hardships of life? The answer to this question and more are covered in this powerful video. Again, it's called Why Is There Pain and Suffering? And it's available for you along with over 500 videos on Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. It's also currently available at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.